What do you do when you reach a trigger age in your child's life that triggers some past trauma for you as an adult child of divorce? That's the topic that we're going to be discussing today on Heart in a Drawer, the podcast for adult children of divorce. I'm Sarah Gehringer. I'm your host today. It's the fourth and final podcast episode on a series of parenting. And if you are new to listening to the podcast, I'm so glad that you've joined today. If you have listened to any of the past episodes, I'm so glad that you're back. Just a couple of things to tell you before we get started. First is I give a free printable on every episode so that you can meditate on God's word, the verse that I describe in this podcast. So look in the show notes and be sure to get that. You can go back to past episodes and get those printables for those episodes as well. Also, anyone who gives a donation of any amount during the month gets an exclusive video teaching and another printable for me. So I encourage you to sign up for my rewards program so that you can benefit even more in your faith. So we're going to this very specific topic. Maybe you've never thought about this as an adult, but it probably has happened somewhere in your subconscious. So, just a recap of my timeline. I was 4 when my parents divorced. I was 13 when my mom remarried. I was 22 when my dad divorced again and remarried again. So all of those ages were, full of transition and challenges for me. Also, another part of my story, don't know if I've really shared it before on this podcast, but I was suicidally depressed when I was 16 years old. And so both of my parents were involved when they found that out. And so those are all, I would call those trigger ages for myself. So, of course, this is painful to talk about, but I just want to remind you, like I do frequently on this podcast. First of all, I'm going to be real with you because I feel that's why you're in this space with me. You want real stories from a real person who has overcome these traumas and who is offering you hope and encouragement. So I'm going to be real with you. But I also want to tell you, I just want to remind you that I have healed from these experiences. I'm not speaking out of a place of current hurt. I'm touching back on those painful lessons so that we can all learn from the negatives. But I have forgiven these people. I don't hold grudges against them anymore. And I thank God that he's brought me to a healing place, along with, as I've said frequently, 5 years of Christian counseling. Counseling has been a very important piece of my healing journey, and I always recommend it to people who reach out for me. I get prayer requests every single week from people who read my blog or my posts, and they're praying, and I always, always recommend they seek counseling because it can do so much, can work so much more effectively and powerfully than just working through things on your own. Okay, I know that's a long intro, but I feel it's important for such a sensitive topic. So, as I've told you, I'm a mom of three, and I remember when my firstborn son was 4 or 5, and there were some internal struggles stirring up in me. And I really didn't understand at the time that it was related to that trigger age that I've talked about. And so at each trigger age in my children's lives, I've had to start the grieving process over for myself. So I don't know if I've spent a lot of time talking about grief, but there's five stages of grief, and we walk through them at different intervals. Sometimes we go back and forth, and these are defined by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's research. So there's denial, there is anger, there's bargaining, there's sadness or depression, and then there's acceptance. So you have to struggle through those stages of denial, bargaining, sadness, and depression, and until that you can get to the healing place. So I had already worked through a lot of my problems in therapy. And so when my oldest son was about five, I didn't really understand these rumblings that were going on inside of me until I realized they were connected to the past. And that's when I knew I had to actually enter that grief process again. And here's why, and I want you to stick with me because there were two sides of this. One is, as a mom, the initial thought I had, the real raw thought I had was, I can't imagine putting my own child through what I went through. And so it was this anger, and kind of a righteous anger, I think. And you know, I'm a fan of Dr. Henry Cloud, if you've listened to this podcast for a while. And I heard him on one of his daily call-in shows. He was speaking with someone and he said, you know, we have to get angry. We need to get angry before we get better, because there's a sense of right and wrong. And this should have never happened to you, he's telling this caller. You know, it's not right. It's not right that your dad walked out on you. It's not right if your mom had to go to work and you felt abandoned. Those things aren't right. That's not the way God created this world to be. So you need to get good and angry about it before you can move past. And it wasn't that anger stage initially, wasn't out of a place of self-righteousness or even judgment toward what had happened to me, toward my parents. It was more a way of entering back into my grief over what had happened and processing that anger again in a new way, because I was seeing right in front of my eyes, my own precious 4 or 5 year old, all the things that were going on in his life that weren't affected by divorce, his transition from being at home with me to kindergarten and all the things that come with that, and realizing that's just a transition he had to go through, but I was going through it with so much more baggage. So I was dealing with this anger. But I think the way that it got me through, and this has got me through every other point on those trigger ages, is I had to go back to where I had been in counseling. And I remember the counselor helping me see that where I was when I experienced that trauma, God was sitting with me in it. He wasn't up high, turning his head away and not looking. He was actually sitting there with me. And that was one of the key components to me healing, is to realize that Jesus was there the whole time. Like I've talked about on a previous episode, we all deal with the fear of abandonment. And that was one of the major ways I was able to conquer that fear, is to realize all those times in the past where I thought I was alone, God was there. God was even there when my parents couldn't be. God was there when I was at my lowest point, like when I was suicidal. So that was a sense of redemption for me. And also, as a mom, looking at my son, it helped me understand that if I hadn't turned to God, I could have made the exact same mistakes. I could have made the same mistakes that my parents made, and my son would be put in the same situation that I had been. So it actually turned into a moment of being able to praise God that he set me on a different path. He actually used the lessons that I learned from the bad things to make me a more intentional mom, to make me a more committed wife, and used the bad for my good, just like Romans 8:28 promises that God will do if we are pursuing a life of obedience toward him. And so I think seeing my kids at those trigger ages, 4, 13, 16, has helped me actually heal on my own even better. And it's also given me compassion for my parents, because as I've learned their stories, you know, realizing they were coming from broken places themselves, so they might not have had the tools to offer what I needed at the time. And again, it didn't make me judge them. It made me feel compassion toward them. But it also just filled my heart with praise and humility that God had equipped me differently because of what I had gone through. I don't know that I would be so serious about being a godly parent if it hadn't been for what I had gone through. If I hadn't remembered with my photographic memory all the pain that I experienced as a child and wanting to keep my kids from suffering in the same way as far as it depended on me. So this is the process that I've used. I was just using it this week because my oldest son is 17. I was doing this again, and I'm doing this in prayer. And God was saying to me, he said, are you ready to get angry? Because this is going to make you angry. And I'm kind of arguing with him, bargaining with God. And I'm saying, you know, I've already worked through this. I don't need to get angry about it again. And he was saying, you're going to have to get angry about this because that's how you're going to heal at this juncture, because this is a trigger age for you again. So we had to go through this process again. And I can say now it's much easier, having had this practice when my kids were 4 and 13, that I've had this practice of working through. So it didn't take a lot of time or as much energy as before. And I felt so much better when I was just honest with God one-on-one about what I was experiencing. So just to recap the three main points that I think you can use when your child gets at one of your trigger ages. First of all, you need to grieve. You need to go through that step with God or possibly a pastor or counselor. Number two, you can use it to show compassion to your parents and forgiveness rather than judgment. Number three, you can use it as a point to praise God for where you are now and for never leaving your side in those painful moments of the past and where you're at right now in your parenting stage. He's walking right beside you. So I found just a half of a verse today that I think is so great to remind us that Jesus is with us, right beside us, when we are suffering, whether it was in the past, whether it's today, whether it's in the future, he's going to be right there beside us. So this is in Psalm 59. It's a Psalm of David. And this is just the second half of verse 16 from the New Living Translation. So let me read this to you. For you have been my refuge, a place of safety when I am in distress. So if you meditate on this verse, you can think about God being your safe place, God hovering over you, God limiting the amount of pain that you had to suffer in those moments, God making sure that you were never snatched out of his hand in those past moments of pain, and then a place of safety when I am in distress. So he was right there with you in your distress, in your suffering, in your trauma. He was your safe place. Maybe you didn't recognize that back when you were a child, but that's who he is right now. He is your safe place. He's the one you can go to, your anchor, your security, to work this out, to heal from this trauma and move forward as an overcomer in his strength. So I'm hoping that this whole process can help you be a more effective parent. It can help you show compassion to your family members. It can help you grow and thrive and be more content, more peaceful in your faith. So let me close this out in prayer for us today. Father God, I just praise you because you are our refuge. You are our safety when we feel distressed, Lord. And whether we realize that or not, as children of divorce, we can accept that truth now. We can apply that now. And Lord, I pray that at these trigger ages of our children, that you will use them as opportunities to help us grieve so that we can reach a place of acceptance, of healing, of peace, of strength. And I pray that you will help the man or woman watching right now go through that healing process because you want them to be stronger and you want their faith to grow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today. Next time, we're going to look at how our brain activity is affected by trauma as children of divorce and what we can do now to make changes to it. Be sure to join me for that. If you enjoyed this episode, would you give it a rating on your favorite podcast platform? If you're watching on YouTube, I would love it if you would like or comment or share this video so more people can see it. Thank you, and God's blessings and peace on you until next time. Bye-bye.